myself, back with episode number 58 of Unfermettable, where we take a look at some of the less heralded myths in our beloved franchise's quirky history, because to us, every player who dons the orange and blue is, in their own way, unfermettable. 2021 has certainly been an interesting season thus far, and one of the main storylines for the myths, or the main storyline that doesn't involve Jacob deGrom and his unbelievable excellence, is probably the emergence of the bench mob. And a bench mob is, of course, right up the unfermettable alley. I like to think in some bizarre world where this podcast is still ongoing 5 years from now, we'll be talking about Brandon Drury and Jhenasree Fargas, and people will be like, oh my god, I forgot those players were on the Mets. But perhaps most impressively is that, what's most impressive is that these players are contributing and that there'll be fond memories of these players, I think, or you could look and find great ways that they've contributed. And in that spirit, we're going to look back at a bench player from the Mets past who provided quite a few memorable moments for the team. In fact, one that has him with an tied with a number of people and for an auspicious note or an auspicious record in the Mets record books. At heart, today's podcast is basically the answer to a trivia question. That trivia question being, what Met has hit the most walk-off home runs in franchise history for the team? And the fact of the matter is, it's actually a five-way tie with four walk-off home runs. So now most of the names, of course, are quite notable, whether as notable names in Mets history or great players or little of both. Most recently, Wilmer Flores, of course, perhaps no surprise, has four walk-off home runs in Mets history, if most recent vintage. You might guess Mike Piazza, and you would be correct. Mike Piazza also has four walk-off home runs, and also doing so with four are Cleon Jones and Kevin McReynolds. Also on the list with four walk-off home runs for the Mets is bench player from 1995 and 1996, Chris Jones, with four walk-off home runs. Now, just to note statistically how bizarre this is, I think, just as of today, some of these, Wilmer is the only one still active, but Wilmer Flores has 95 career home runs. He hit 68 of those as a Met. Mike Piazza has 427 career home runs, had hit 220 of them as a New York Met. Cleon Jones, 93 home runs, all as a New York Met. Kevin McReynolds, 211 career home runs, 122 as a Met. Chris Jones, on the other hand, hit 30 career home runs, 12 as a New York Met. So yes, fully 33% of Chris Jones's Met home runs were of the walk-off variety. And in fact, we'll have a little story about how the record should in fact be Chris Jones's all by itself, and would be were the 1990s the land of instant replay, I would guess. Although, I guess Gary Cohen would probably add some snarky comment about how who knows how replay will turn out ever. But I digress. On with our story of the very unfermettable Chris Jones and the journey that led him to the New York Mets and his walk-off heroics. So, Christopher Carlos Jones was born December 16th, 1965, in upstate New York in Utica. Jones played high school ball, of course, and graduated in 1984 from Liverpool High School, a suburb of Syracuse, and he was drafted by the Cincinnati Reds in the third round of the 1984 MLB draft. As a young player and as a prospect, Jones was an outfielder with some speed and some pop, ultimately not quite enough of either to make it as an everyday regular, but enough that we would eventually have a career as your quintessential bench player, fourth, fifth outfielder, your professional pinch hitter, pick your baseball cliche. But in the minors, Jones would typically reach double digits in homers and stolen bases, in his full seasons in the minors, 10, 11, 15, not really lighting it up. But generally, at every level, he had an OPS in the 700 range, if you look at his minor league numbers. But he was consistent and slowly, steadily, determined, doggedly, over 7 years in the Reds minor league system, Chris Jones persevered, made his way up the ladder, and made his major league debut at the age of 25 for the Cincinnati Reds in 1991. Like many of our bench mob Mets, Jones was up and down the 1991 season. He was mostly in AAA early in the season with a couple of brief periods with the team, but he ultimately did spend the last 2 months of the season at the major league level. He made his major league debut on April 21st, 1991, as a pinch runner. Didn't get an at bat, but he did get his first at bat 6 days later, and it was a successful one. He lined a pinch single off of Sean Boskey of the Chicago Cubs. And perhaps the biggest hit of his young career would come against our New York Mets. Jones flashed the flair for pinch hitting he would show off to some aplomb here in New York, lining a two-run triple the other way to right field to stake the Reds to a 6-4 lead in a game they'd win 7-6. And raising Jones's incredibly small sample size average to 643 over his first 23 major league at-bats and his first 14 major league games. With a bit more playing time down the stretch, he would come down to earth, although his first career home run on September 16th of 1991 again showed his flair for the dramatic, as it was in the 11th inning in a tie game in Los Angeles, giving the Reds a 5-3 lead. But rather than another in his ledger of game-winning home runs, the Reds would surrender 3 runs in the bottom of the 11th to the Dodgers to spoil Jones's potential heroics in that game. At the end of the season, Jones would be released by the Reds, and he would begin a tour of the National League. Jones would ultimately play for 7 franchises in his major league career, all of them in the National League, strangely enough. He'd spend 1992 with the Astros, of course, still in the NL at that point, and 1993 and 1994 with the expansion Rockies. 92 largely in the minors, but 93 and 94, he spent most of his time in Colorado. The 209 at-bats he logged in 1993 in the Rockies' inaugural season would wind up being a career high for Jones. Perhaps not surprising, with that kind of 24th, 25th man roster player, but had a larger role with an expansion team. He had 6 home runs in Colorado. He had a pair of 4 of them came in a pair of 2 home run games, as far as I could see, the only ones of his career. And again, as keeps popping up in his career narrative, he hit a huge game-tying home run in the top of the ninth off of Lee Smith to pull the Rockies out of a 4-2 deficit in a game they'd win 5-4 in 9 innings there. Got a little less time with the Rockies in 94, and as a free agent on December 7th, 1994, Jones signed with the New York Mets, leaving an expansion team where he saw an opportunity to join a team that was digging itself out of its nadir of 1993, perhaps seeing a different type of opportunity for some playing time. Jones would spend all of 1995 and 1996 with the Mets. Those were a couple of what I think of the couple of weird buffer years, kind of sandwiched, wedged between the bottoming out, worst team money could buy years and the renaissance of the Piazza and Bobby V Mets. 1995 and 1996 held out the hope of Generation K and a new era, but also offered the utter lack of joy of the crotchety Dallas Green patrolling the sidelines as manager. But 95 in particular, I guess, as Isringhausen and Pulsifer debuted strongly, and Paul Wilson was still waiting in the wings and not full of arm problems, was probably, a year where there was maybe more hope than was warranted, it would turn out. But at any rate, it was kind of a fun season in certain ways. And for Chris Jones, it was clearly a good season, as he would have his best offensive season, his best season of his major league career. In 201 plate appearances for the 1995 Mets, he would hit 280, 327 on base, 467 slugging, for 794 OPS, and a 111 OPS plus. The lineup that year was a kind of weird mix of veterans. Brett Butler, Bobby Bonilla were still on the team. Jeff Kent, he wasn't that old at that point. But then there were the up-and-coming pieces, or what we hoped would be up-and-coming pieces, like Rico Bronya and Edgardo Alfonso. Jones couldn't quite crack the everyday lineup. Carl Everett and Ryan Thompson, in particular, were also getting outfield playing time. But when Jones did get an opportunity, and particularly when he got an opportunity with the game on the line, well, he delivered. He started his Met career quiet 7 for 24 through mid-May of 1995, getting a number of starts in the corner outfield spots and occasional pinch-hitting appearances. Then Jones got hot in late May of 1995. He homered in back-to-back appearances, one as a starter and one as a pinch hitter, against the Giants on May 26th and May 28th, respectively. Then on May 31st, at home against the Padres, we come to walk-off number one. In a back-and-forth affair at Shea, the Padres tied the game off of John Franco in the top of the ninth, then took a 5-4 lead off of Franco in the top of the tenth. On came future Hall of Famer Trevor Hoffman to close out the game for the Padres and try and seal that comeback victory. But after retiring the first batter, Hoffman allowed singles to Jeff Kent and Joe Orsilac. So with two on and one out, up came Chris Jones, who lined one just inside the left field line at Shea for his first walk-off home run as a Met, but as already given away, not his last. Almost exactly 2 months later, Chris Jones would bail John Franco out once again on July 29th of 1995. In somewhat similar fashion, the Mets took a 1-0 lead into the bottom of the eighth. Actually, the scoreless game, they scored in the bottom of the eighth, and Franco came on to close it, but the Pirates tied it off for Franco in the top of the ninth. This time it took a mere 3 pitches in the bottom of the ninth for Chris Jones to restore order at Shea, hitting the ball deep into the bleachers in left center for his second walk-off home run of the season. As I guess I indicated already, 95 was Jones's best year in the majors and would turn out to be his best year in his whole career. Not just to that point. Both by traditional standards, he had 8 homers and 31 RBIs, which were each career highs, season highs for Jones, as well as by advanced metrics, the 111 OPS plus that I mentioned and the 1.4 BWAR were career highs for him as well. So for both of those reasons, I would imagine Jones earned a stay. For the second and last time in his career, he would spend 2 straight seasons with the same major league team at the major league level. After 93 and 94 with Colorado, Jones would stick with the Mets after his stellar or solid 1995 to spend 1996 with the team as well. And Jones got off to a relatively quiet start to 1996, but soon got to his heroics again, this time against his original team in a 6-6 game in the 10th inning on April 23rd. Jones would supply the drama against Reds closer Jeff Shaw as he took him deep to left for a 2-run game-winning home run, snapping that 6-6 tie and giving the Mets the victory. After the game, the always stingy with praise, Dallas Green actually lamented that he didn't have a regular spot for Jones. He noted that Chris Jones is one of my favorite guys. He was quoted after the game. He works very hard to stay ready. Haven't been able to use him as much as I'd like because of the way I'm trying to experiment with Butch Husky, but whenever I call on him, he makes a contribution, Green noted. Pretty bland, and of course, I guess baseball praise often is, but from my memory, any praise from Dallas Green should have been weighed pretty heavily. And indeed, 1996, if you recall, featured those random great seasons from Bernard Gilkey and the one dog himself, Lance Johnson, out in the outfield, and the Mets were trying to bring along kind of more hyped prospects, such as Alex Ochoa and Butch Husky, who they're trying to find any position for. Alfonso kind of pushed him off of third, so they're trying first. They're trying the outfield. So there was a lot less playing time that season for Jones than there had been in 1995, and perhaps correspondingly, he was less productive in 1996. He hit only 4 home runs and had only 18 RBIs in a season that he spent almost entirely on the major league roster, or spent a couple of small stints on the DL. But I guess I've given it away. He did have time to fit in yet another walk-off. On July 31st, 1996, Carl Everett had to leave the game early with a strained calf. So Jones came in to take over from Everett and got the opportunity to play hero one last time as a Met. Again, victimizing the Pirates, and again hitting a walk-off, not in a tie game, but for the second of these four in a game the Mets trailed as the team fell behind 2-1 in the 10th inning. But with one out and one on, Jones hit a two-run homer off of Dan Plesac, this one to near straightaway center near the original Apple, and providing his fourth and final walk-off home run as a New York Met. At the time, a number that had only been equaled by Cleon Jones and Kevin McReynolds, as you kind of garner and would, and as I said earlier, would later be matched by Piazza and Wilmer Flores. That was probably Jones's last big Mets moment, but it's more than most have, and especially in a small 2-year window where you're not even playing every day. And of course, I did mention that Jones should actually hold the record by himself at the top of the podcast, and this is based on my memory, but it was also corroborated by other memories I've seen online, such as the Ultimate Mets database and a couple of other places. But what I remember, of course, as any true Met fan probably would, is the one that got away, the one we got cheated on. It was harder to pinpoint the game because it's hard to, you can find stats about walk-off home runs, but it's hard to find games where umpires missed calls and things were not recorded as walk-off home runs. But I believe looking at box scores, I did track down the game where Chris Jones would have had a fifth walk-off home run were it not for a incorrect foul call down the right field line at Shea on August 21st, 1995, in Jones's first season in New York. The Mets were playing the Giants at Shea. The Giants took a 4-3 lead in the top of the 11th and brought in their closer, Rod Beck. In the bottom of the 11th, Butch Husky popped out, Kelly Stinnett singled, and Jones pinch hit for Met pitcher Paul Bird. And as my memory serves, Jones slashed one down the right field line that hooked inside the foul pole and was incorrectly called foul by the first base umpire, depriving Jones of a walk-off home run. Jones would wind up striking out in the at-bat. Believe it or not, the Mets would win the game anyway. With two outs, Joe Orsilak would double to tie the game, and Jose Vizcaino would single Orsilak home to give the Mets a Jones-less walk-off win. If anyone else remembers this or can corroborate it, I'd appreciate it. I just my memories of Chris Jones were, yes, that he hit. I didn't know that he actually was tied for this record until I researched the podcast. I just remember him hitting a couple of big walk-off home runs, and I particularly remember a game where he got robbed of one, and this was the only game I could find that matches up the kind of the play-by-play where it would make sense. I just remembered it being against the Giants. But whether four walk-off home runs or five walk-off home runs, and obviously it's four in the record books, truly unformidable work by Chris Jones in his 2 years with the Mets. And after leaving the Mets, Jones's journeyman ways continued. He spent all of 1997 with the Padres in San Diego. It was kind of the last season he would spend entirely at the major league level. He'd spend 1998 splitting time between Arizona and San Francisco, but again, starting to go back to spending a lot of his time in the minors, and in fact, spent all of 99 in the minors, getting a brief appearance in 2000 with the Milwaukee Brewers, which would be his last major league time. He did try to hang on in a couple of other organizations and in the Mexican League as well. Jones played in the minors, Mexican League, and independent leagues through 2004, ending his professional career in 2004 in the independent league with Newark. And he actually transitioned in 2005 into managing for Newark, which he did for 2 years, then spent a couple of years managing in the White Sox organization at Single A Kannapolis. He actually has since stepped away from managing or continuing in baseball and currently lives in Phoenix, Arizona with his wife and 2 children. I know I mentioned the home run totals up front for his major league career. Jones was in the majors for parts of 9 seasons, getting in 548 games, had 1,021 at bats. He hit 252 over his major league career, 303 on base, 404 slugging, giving him a 707 OPS. He hit 30 home runs, drove in 131 runs, and stole 26 bases over his major league career. In his 2 years with the Mets, Jones appeared in 168 games and had 331 at bats, the most he had with any team or organization in the majors. Hit 12 homers and drove in 49 runs. Hit 263, slash 263, 318, 423 for a 741 OPS. While Jones's overall major league career, according to Baseball Reference, gives him a 0.4 WAR for the entirety of his career, he has a 1.5 WAR for his time with the Mets. But of course, stats don't always tell us the whole story, and what a story Jones was able to write over 2 seasons with the Mets, with 4 dramatic walk-off home runs, unforgettable moments from an unforgettable player. Thanks for taking the time to listen to Unforgettable. Please go to AmazonAvenue.com for more Mets-related content. You can follow Amazon Avenue on the social medias, Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. And you can find this and all of our amazing pods wherever you get your podcasts. Please subscribe, leave us reviews, it really helps us out. Original music by Bunga. I'm on Twitter at WolfRR, WOLFFRR, and the show is at Unformettable. Thank you, and as always, let's go Mets!